you'll meet with us here, Lord, that you'll help us as we see this Vision Sunday, Lord, of the desires of our pastor for this future of this church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll help those that are here to be willing to look out and see that vision, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with us here, that you'll touch every heart, Lord, that they see the special needs of those around us, and, Lord, that we'd have that desire to reach out, to be that salt and that light.
Yes.
For you, dear Lord. I thank you for all those that are able to be here today, Lord. Those that are of your church, Lord, we pray that you'll help us. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that this would be the day that they'd come to know you. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's good to have you here today, and I appreciate your willingness to stay. I hope you had enough to eat. Amen. If not, I hope it wasn't our fault for not having enough. I hope it was just because you didn't want to eat a lot, amen. But it's good to have you here this evening. Our guest pianist, we want to thank her for coming to play for us. She said, Pastor, I don't see an offering on the thing. I said, I know that's unusual for a Baptist church, but we're okay. We're not going to have an offering, amen. And she understood. She was just joking with us. So take your Bibles this afternoon and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. It's good to be here for Vision Sunday. I trust that you begin to see the first vision that we have for 2019 is that we are going to be the church. And then we start being the church by being salt and by being light as well. So what a great time we had today. And the food was wonderful. Thank you so very much. Well, if you found your place, let's begin in Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 4 down through verse number 12. And I believe that you'll see this familiar passage of Scripture. So let's stand as I give respect to the reading of God's Word, Hebrews 11, verses 4 down through verse number 12. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Boy, what a wonderful testimony that would be, huh? But without faith is it impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builders and makers are God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's pray. Father, once again, we humbly come before you this afternoon, Father, and ask that you would fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray as we think about this thought, it's Vision Sunday. Father, I pray that your people's hearts and minds would be filled, Father, with what vision is. And Father, then they receive the vision that you have laid upon my heart for this church, that we might be united together, Father, as a church, unmovable, unstoppable, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you would just be a help to us. Bless now, Father, the preaching and teaching of your word. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want us this afternoon to catch a vision of our lives. I want you to catch a vision for our church what our church should be like, not only for today, but for tomorrow and also for the years to come. Notice the people that are listed here at Hebrews chapter number 11. In verse number 4, we find Abel being mentioned. In verse 5, we have Enoch. In verse 7, we have Noah. And then Abraham in verse number 8, Sarah in verse number 11. Then you go all the way down to verse number 27, you find another great man of God mentioned, as well as Moses. You see, all these people, from Abel all the way down to Moses, all had a vision. And they all could see something that no one else saw. They could see what they were supposed to see instead of only what they were. And so when we think about vision, that's what we need to think about. Let's think about something that we're supposed to see instead of only what we are. Think about Abel. He saw that worshiping God was really through the substitution of a lamb. Enoch saw no death in his future, and so he walked with God every day. Noah saw a coming flood and so sacrificed everything so that he could save his family. Abraham saw children and great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren, numbering as the stars of the sky. Think about what Sarah saw. She saw her aging body getting pregnant, carrying a child, and giving birth for the promised son that God had promised them, even at the age of 90 years old. Think about Moses, all he endured, and then able to see the promised land before he died. We need to have that same kind of vision here at Sharon Baptist Church, and we desperately need their way of seeing things as a way of looking into our future collectively as the United Church body, because only a God-given view of the future will enable us to properly see what God has in store for us. I want you to notice, first of all, this afternoon, we answer this question: what exactly is a vision? What exactly is a vision? I define vision as this way. This is not the dictionary's vision. This is your pastor's definition of vision. And I determine it to be this. Vision is foresight, a sense of purpose, a God-inspired plan for everything from this moment forward. You see, the Bible describes vision in Hebrews chapter number 11 as something that we only can see by faith, by believing what God says is true, according to verse number 13. And that's the testimony of all those who have ever gone before us. A vision is seen by faith and obtained through faith. It's seen by faith, but attained through faith as well. Number two, we find that vision is also something that's in the future. Somebody once said this, and I really liked it. It said, vision is the gap between the present and the future. If you think about that, that's a pretty true statement. And to get across that gap, we're all going to have a God-given vision for the future. You see, vision isn't something that hasn't happened yet, but you know it will happen. So vision is something in the future, and you see it out there as if it has already happened. Notice something else. Notice a God-given vision is fully persuaded and convinced by the promises of God. It's something that God shows us to do. He reveals it to us and then motivates us from the inside to accomplish it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice we embrace those promises. That means literally holding on to what you see on the horizon. Literally, that word embrace translates this way, that we receive joyfully the vision, that we welcome the vision that God has for us, and we embrace it and receive it, and we desire to move forward for the glory of God. That's the kind of vision that pleases God. That's the kind of vision I believe that we have here at Sharon Baptist Church. And now that we have defined what vision is, I want you to notice something else this afternoon. Vision is more than what we see. It's how we see it. It's more than what we see. It's how we see what we see, if you allow me to put it that way. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 18, we find these words from the Apostle Paul. Speaking to the church at Ephesus, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." You see, Paul literally was praying that they would understand everything that God had given them in Jesus Christ. And I understand the doctrinal setting of this passage. Believe me, I understand that. But I know this, that if the Ephesians will know all that God has given them in Jesus, it's going to take a supernatural work. They're not going to be able to determine that all by their own. It's going to take some vision and a supernatural work of God in their life. If we are to know what God has for us, guess what? It's going to require that our eyes of our understanding be enlightened by God Himself. You see, Paul uses
a great expression in this passage when he speaks about the eyes of understanding. You see, too many Christians today, understanding, or in other words, we might say a deep thought, have that, but they have no eyes for the vision. So they have understanding, but they don't have the eyes for vision. Understanding is a place where they gain real knowledge and a real understanding of the situation, the vision that God has given them. And then the opposite is true as well. Too many Christians today have eyes but have no understanding. And I think God wants us to be united in both of those. He wants us to have understanding, and he also wants us to have eyes to see the vision. So he wants us to have knowledge and know about it, but then he wants us to have vision to see by faith what he has for us before. Well, we've defined vision, and we understood that vision is more than what we see. It's how we look at something or how we see it. But then notice, thirdly, vision is not enough. Just seeing the goalpost is not enough. There is no going to be points put on the scoreboard if a quarterback is on the 10-yard line of his side and he looks down and sees a goalpost and wishes he could get to the other side. There's no points going to be put on a scoreboard. Just seeing the goalpost is not enough. No plan, no matter how good it may be, is nothing unless we are all working towards that, unless we are all pushing forward to reach the goal, to reach that vision. Almost everyone I know can point to a goal line. And if I take you to a stadium, you could say, that's the goal line. That's where the points are made, either 3 points, 7 points, or 2 points for a touchback. And you go to a basketball court, and you could say, well, you could get 2 points there, or you can get 1 point if you just put it in on a foul shot, or you can shoot from that big circle line, the three-point line, and get 3 points. And you could go to a baseball diamond. You could say, if you get all the way around there, one person, that's 1 point. All of us could do that. We could point out the goal line. We could point out the finish line. But very few of us are willing to grab the ball and head for the goal line. Very few are willing to run around the three bases to get back to the home base to score points for our home team. So I want us to love on what's on the horizon. Look ahead in the vision. Love what's on the horizon. Yearn in your heart for what God has for us. Stay the course of God's vision for you and I. I like the familiar verse in Philippians 3 and verse 13 and 14 that Paul writes, and he says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, but then notice this, and pressing forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So no matter how hard, no matter what the cost may be, no matter what the setbacks or disappointments that we are going to experience, I want you and I to unite and be unified in the vision that God has given for us here at Sharon Baptist Church. So now that we have defined what vision is, now that we know that vision is more than what we see, it's how we see that vision, now that we know that vision is not enough, it brings us to the fourth point, and the fourth point is simply this. What is our vision as a church for 2019 here at Sharon Baptist Church? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because in the next few moments, we're going to share with you the vision that God has placed upon our hearts for Sharon Baptist Church in the coming new year.